So, how are you all feeling? It's always very lovely the morning after Baba has been. Are you all feeling that presence from Baba last night? And I think this is one of the main things about coming together and to revise the Muli, to bring back the feeling. You know, in studies, scientists have found that if you don't have feelings, you don't remember. You watch, you look back, and that's why often it's very hard to forget very negative things, because the feelings were so strong. So it's just as important when we're meeting Baba, of course, to capture as much feeling as we can and not just the words. And I think many of us are aware that the words are getting less and the depth is not what it used to be. But how are the feelings? You know, so it's interesting because in the beginning there wasn't much knowledge, but there was a lot of experience, a lot of feeling. And then everything became very clear and Baba explained everything in detail. And it's as if now it's going back to that time when it's essence and it's feeling. Baba doesn't pull our ears anymore. He hasn't pulled our ears for a few years, has he? Huh? He hasn't corrected us. He just says, be happy. You know, have feelings of love for me. I'm sustaining you. And so it's very important to really go into those feelings and feel what it is to connect with God. And I've only got the Hindi Muli. Actually, I learned Hindi from Baba, from Baba's Muli, because Baba used to come every 2 or 3 days and stay for 8, 10, 12 hours. So it was quite good for learning Hindi because Baba speaks very slowly and, you know, we know the kind of gist, you know. And so I learned Hindi from Baba. So I listen to the Muli in Hindi because I get more feeling when, you know. Otherwise I'm translating in my mind, what would Baba V say? So I listened in Hindi. I've only been able to revise in Hindi. I brought the iPad because they said they'll try and send the English if it comes through. But anyway, I think we'll manage okay. But also what's a very interesting thing to explore is the whole relationship with Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba. Because the essence of this Muli, it's saying, I didn't even bring my glasses. Mm-hmm. So it's saying that Brahma Baba's special teaching, Brahma Baba's special teaching is to have the, be the embodiments of the awareness of Bab Dada, both Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba. And I find this very interesting because, you know, our yoga needs to be with Shiv Baba, right? Shiv Baba's God. Brahma Baba's not God. But last night, the whole Muli was about following both, because we could not follow Shiv Baba without Brahma Baba. I mean, what can an incorporeal soul show us? He can teach us, and when Shiv Baba's in the body, of course we do see all the qualities of Shiv Baba, of being very, very humble, sweet, light. But on a practical level, and that's what Baba was also saying last night in the Muli, in a very practical level, the way I felt when Baba was speaking is like, he's more like you. That was the feeling I got. Brahma Baba's more like you, because in a practical level, he's in a body, he's living in this world, he's dealing with relationships, he's also doing service. And so we can't learn everything from Shiv Baba, right? Can we? He's incorporeal. So we have learned from the example. And the amazing thing about Brahma Baba, because, you know, now with Dadi Gulzar, Shiv Baba comes through Dadi Gulzar, but she's like in trance, she's not there. But with Brahma Baba, Brahma Baba was there. Like, you know, if you speak to the souls who were around at that time, you know, Shiv Baba used to come and go just like that. You know, you'd be in the garden picking the grapes, and Shiv Baba would come for a while and go. So Shiv Baba used to come and go in Brahma Baba. Can you imagine yourself being able to carry that? I mean, it's not a small thing for God to use you, and there couldn't be too much difference between you and God. Otherwise, people would get confused. One minute, there's Baba, Shiv Baba, and the next minute, there's a human being. One minute, there's God. The next minute, there's a human being. Can you imagine the personality of the one who was able to carry God in a living, waking state? You know, like Brahma Baba didn't go into trance. Brahma Baba didn't kind of allow his body just to be used. And even sometimes Shiv Baba used to complain in the Sakamulis, I'm speaking and he keeps butting in, you know. Brahma Baba would come and also in between say things. So can you imagine also the closeness of that relationship on a level of trust? Like, I'm God. I'm coming to this earth to create a new world. And I have to use somebody's body to teach, right? Can you imagine? I'm God and I've got to use somebody's body to teach. And the way he came into Brahma Baba and used his body and had such a close relationship, as I said, Shiv Baba would come and go. In the Muli, Shiv Baba speaking the Muli, Brahma Baba would also say things. So can you imagine how close and how trusting, in a sense, that relationship would be? So as yesterday was 18th of January, the day to remember the activities of Brahma Baba, the example, the teachings, all of these things, and the Muli was very much like, remember both, you know, remember both and follow both. So, and usually 18th of January, if you read any Muli of 18th of January, you usually get that more than any other time. And Baba was saying that last night, that, you know, we remember Shiv Baba, but especially this is the memorial day. This is the day of the memory of Brahma Baba. And so it gets very merged. But still, at least for me, I need to have a very, very clear relationship with both of these souls. You know, I mean, on one level, the seniors tell us, which is also true, to see them both together, don't separate them. There is a time for that. But I, for me, because of yoga, it's also very important to know exactly what I'm doing. And so for me, it's been very important to really have a very clear relationship with God and to understand the role of the medium, the instrument of Brahma Baba. And I remember one time, I'd been in Gyan for a long time, and I was talking to other kind of instrument, quite senior sisters in Australia, and we were sitting at breakfast, and I was asking them, you know, who do you actually remember when you have yoga? And I was surprised, because they said Brahma Baba. And I thought, Brahma Baba? Really? Have I got something wrong here? And I was like, thinking, have I missed something? And so the next morning in Amrit Vela, I was talking to Baba about this, and I got so intoxicated with, like, Shiv Baba saying, of course it's me, you know, like it was a very alive kind of experience. Of course it's me, you know. And it was very clear. And I said to the sisters, I said, you better think again, you know, really what you're doing. And I think, you know, as human beings, I won't say as Brahmins, I think as human beings, as Baba says, our intellect is not always, it's become a little, I don't like to use the word dull, it sounds a bit rude, but for myself, I know that there were many things, like I was talking one day about the bodiless stage, practicing the bodiless stage, maybe for 6 months, and then realizing, actually, I'm not really clear about the bodiless stage. And it surprised me. I thought, what's wrong with my intellect? You know, how come I'm not clear about this? So in the same way, at least for me, I don't know about you, because that's the thing. That's also what I think is very interesting. We don't talk very much about our experiences. And I find it quite fascinating because we all sit together in silence doing something quite intensely and intimately, but we never know what each other's doing, huh? Do we? We don't often really know what the next person is really doing there and what's going on for them. And so I find this a wonderful conversation for us to have, you know, like somebody, you know, just to ask questions of each other and think about things so that we get a little bit clear. And so, but on the other hand, okay, that's the thing about spirituality. Everything's a paradox. Paradox means, it means both, not one or the other. It's this and that, not this or that. Most things of truth are this and that, not this or that. Right? So even with this thing of clarity, as I said, for me, I like to be very clear. But things of the spirit world are not very clear. And so you can't get too hung up, too particular about being very clear. Like with Bab Dada, you know, do you remember them separately or together? I would say both. You know, and it's also even meditation. One of the first books on meditation we had, I think it's not around anymore, it was just called Raj Yoga Meditation, written by Suryabai, the first brother, the first actually foreign BK. And it was saying that in meditation, it's very interesting because what we do as Brahmins is we concentrate our intellect and expand our mind. At the same time, so in meditation, we are concentrating and expanding. Now that's a paradox, isn't it? To do both things. But if you think about it, the intellect works best when it concentrates, when it's focused. But the mind, it doesn't like to focus. It likes to expand. And so what we do is we focus the intellect on one thing, like an anchor, and then let the mind expand anywhere it likes to, but only connected here. Think about it. That's, anyway, what I understand. The method of Raj Yoga is to do it like that. So in the same way, in our meeting with Baba, we listen to the knowledge, but we also need to expand as much as we can into the feeling. Because then both things come together to form a very rich experience. If we just focus on the feelings and don't, you know, appreciate the wisdom, then we're missing a lot. If we just focus on the knowledge and then we miss the feelings, then we're missing a lot. And that's why it's also an art to listen to Baba. Because some people write notes and they want to get every word. Maybe that works best for them. But others don't like to write anything. They just like to absorb. And I don't think one is right or wrong. Because we all have different ways of absorbing and learning. But what's important for all of us is to find out what works best for me. You know, for some people, they do a bit of both. They just take a little bit of the essence so that they can, you know, reflect back until they receive the muli, which in English is usually 2 or 3 days. But at least they have something that they can read over, you know. But it's always it's all part of our learning and how we learn and which is the best way to absorb maximum. And so last night, it was all of these things, meaning, you know, it was very much a muli about Brahma Baba and about following the Father. And the rest of this is the special teaching of Brahma Baba is to be the embodiment of remembrance of both Bap and Dada, and to follow the Father. And what Baba was also, as you remember, talking mostly about is about the avyakt sustenance. Now, this is also very interesting because I think none of us, right? None of us met Brahma Baba in the physical. Did anyone hear? And you saw last night how few, hardly 50. And, you know, we used to hear that there'll come a time when we will be, just as those souls share their experience of meeting Brahma Baba, there'll come a time when we will share our experience of meeting Bap Dada. Because who knows how long these meetings will continue. As you can see, sometimes now they happen, sometimes they don't. And sometimes Dadi just stays for, you know, Dadi's able to, you know, hold Baba for a very short time. Because you have to think practically. There's no kind of magic in this. You know, the instrument that Baba's using is now, how old? 86? Is Dadi 86? Something like that. About 86. Now, an 86-year-old, you know, it's not that easy to hold the concentration. Dadi's had a lot of health issues, as you know, including cancer. Who knows what medication she's on, you know? So it's not a small thing for someone that age to be able to hold, you know, this concentration and to really, what, I don't know, there's not a better word, but like channel Baba, almost. It's like channeling Baba, because Baba's using her body. And so we saw, like, a few meetings ago, she couldn't go. And she went back to her room and came back again, and then she went, and now sometimes Baba's there, and then suddenly Baba's gone, and then they bring Baba back. So what we're seeing now is a big change. Things are changing. If you read the mulis now compared to 5 years ago, they're very different. And all of this is the drama. But I would say for me, what's happening more for me is the feelings. I'm getting, you know, rather than the knowledge, which I used to appreciate so much from the avyakt mulis, it's more the feelings and also the way Baba behaves, you know, because one of the things that I appreciate most is when, you know, all those people are up on the stage and people are trying to feed Baba. Do you see where Baba is? He's with all the children. Did you see last night? They're trying to feed him, and he's saying, you know, giving blessings to everyone. He asked the camera people to move because he couldn't see these ones. But he makes sure in every meeting that he's reached us. Did he reach you personally last night? Personally? Or did he only meet those ones that went on the stage? What was your feeling? He has such an ability, and this is what I would like to learn from Baba, is how to be so inclusive. You know, such a mind that's so inclusive, but his actions, I think you'll remember 2 or 3 years ago, he was doing this, you know, and he was going, and right to the back of the hall, so everyone feels, oh, Baba's doing this to me. So this inclusiveness is what, these are the things we learn from who, Shiv Baba or Brahma Baba? Sometimes it's hard to say, huh? Both. Yeah. So Baba was talking about this avyak sustenance, and, you know, as we were just saying, none of us actually met Brahma Baba, but who feels, and say honestly, don't put your hand up, I'm not Baba. You know, we all want to put our hand up for Baba. But who really feels that they have a very, very close relationship with Brahma Baba? Very, very close, very intimate, like you really know him. Okay, not everyone. Not everyone, which is also okay. Because, you know, this is also our challenge, that it's not just a relationship with God that we are establishing now, but also a relationship with Brahma Baba. And how I see these two is that for me, Shiv Baba is the aim. Because ultimately, I have to go back. I have to leave this body completely and go back to being just a soul, incorporeal, viceless and humble. Completely these three words that were left with us when Brahma Baba left the body. So we need to me, Shiv Baba is my aim, like the goal. But how will I get there? So sometimes it's said that Shiv Baba's the father and Brahma Baba's the mother, because the mother prepares the children to really be at the level of the father. You know, so you can see Brahma Baba really playing that role of sustenance of the children. And again, last night in the Muli, it talked about Brahma Baba giving sustenance and Shiv Baba giving sustenance. And again, can you see the difference? Is there a difference between Shiv Baba's sustenance and Brahma Baba's sustenance? Is there? Again, there's no answers to these things. I'm only asking questions so you can reflect and go into your own experiences. But is there a difference for you in that sustenance? And do you have a separate relationship? Like what happened for me in the beginning, I was so happy to find that God did not have a body. I just loved that Shiv Baba was just a point. So although Brahma Baba's picture was there, it didn't bother me either way. I wasn't disturbed. Some people are disturbed. They think, oh, is it a guru or what is this? I remember in Philippines, I was instrumental to help set up the center there. And when I went there, we didn't have any pictures. I went there for, I think I went there for a week and ended up staying 3 months. So in the beginning, I just went, you know, like that. I didn't have any pictures. And all the students were doing pretty well because they were all Catholic, actually. Catholic, not just Christian, but Catholic. And everyone was kind of doing really well. And I'd ordered the pictures. I was based in Hong Kong at the time, so I ordered the pictures from Hong Kong. So one morning when the students came to Muli class, there was Brahma Baba, right? And I could feel the atmosphere. This atmosphere of, like, anger. And And at the end of the class, they said, "What's he doing there? You've replaced Christ with Brahma Baba." You know, like it was a big thing for them. And this was like after listening to the Mulu for about 2 months, I guess. And I think it's like that sometimes when people come to Madhuban, because sometimes in our centers, we make Shiv Baba more prominent and Brahma Baba less so. In fact, you know, my preference, personally, is to have Brahma Baba on the side. You know, because I like to have him there because he does a lot of service. A lot of people get things happening, and this is Brahma Baba's sustenance. Like, we used to keep it on the side in Hong Kong, and we had an evening class of maybe about 20 non-BKs, but they used to come, listen to the Muli, listen to Raj Yoga. And I never used to say anything about Brahma Baba. The picture was just there on an easel, you know. But then sometimes I used to talk with those students and say, "What do you think of, you know, Brahma Baba? What do you think of this picture and this picture being around?" Usually 100% of the students had an experience from the face of Brahma Baba. Something, you know, their own experience. I'm sure you get that experience as well. So I wouldn't want to take it away, but I also feel that, you know, I don't want to confuse people that our relationship with God is with the point, the incorporeal, the light, you know. And for us, you know, we, again, another very interesting thing that even for me, the way I get to Shiv Baba easiest is through Brahma Baba's eyes. So I have always looked at through the eyes of Brahma Baba. But again, people might think you're looking at this human form, but I'm not. I never have yoga with Brahma Baba. I go through those eyes to Shiv Baba. And I don't have yoga with Brahma Baba. In fact, Brahma Baba comes in my yoga. I'm having yoga with Shiv Baba. And sometimes, I don't know if you get this experience, but sometimes Brahma Baba comes and I think, "Oh, what are you doing here?" That's what I mean. It's very distinct for me, these two personalities and my relationship. And I connect with Shiv Baba always. And then Brahma Baba will kind of come in the meditation. I say, "Oh, what are you doing here?" And it's usually to do with service in some way. And it's not always clear what that service is. Like, I was in Hong Kong for 22 years, and I was just meditating with Shiv Baba, and Brahma Baba came and took my thoughts to China, and I don't know why. I have no idea. I didn't hear anything happen there, but he did it, so who am I to question? So, you know, I will always follow Brahma Baba in that sense too. If he wants to direct some service somewhere, then he can use us for that also. But, you know, why I'm talking about my experience of this, again, is so that you all think about this. Because sometimes we're not really clear what we're doing in meditation and who we're meditating with, having yoga with. Meditation's a different thing. But who am I really having yoga with? And what is my relationship with Shiv Baba? What is my relationship with Brahma Baba? What is my relationship with Bab Dada? And how do I follow Shiv Baba? How do I follow Brahma Baba and Bab Dada? How do I take sustenance from Shiv Baba, Brahma Baba, and Bab Dada? So for me, it's almost like three. Because sometimes it's very specifically Shiv Baba, other times very specifically Brahma Baba, and sometimes it's both, and there's no separation. But again, it's a bit like the potatoes I was talking the other day. I think you probably heard about the potatoes, but the other day I was talking that somebody was asking Daddy Gulzar, about the difference between soul consciousness and bodiless, and you know, getting quite technical about the differences in these stages. And Dadi Gorzar just said, don't worry, they're all just potatoes. And what she was saying is, we eat potatoes often every day, so we need to have a little variety, sometimes steamed, baked, boiled, fried, but we need a variety with this vegetable, with that vegetable. So in the same way, these relationships with Shiv Baba, with Brahma Baba, with Bap Dada, with Shiv Baba as the mother, with Shiv Baba as the father, with Shiv Baba as the brother, all these relationships all have a different flavor. And, you know, one of the biggest problems with meditation and yoga is boredom. Huh? Boredom. Sometimes we just don't feel it's very exciting. Nothing much is happening. So if we, you know, make it alive and active, tasting all these things, like the different relationships, the different stages, then we keep ourself very engaged in experience. Experience and, to some extent, understanding. But we don't always understand our experiences, do we? Do you always understand your experiences? And that's another thing. Sometimes we create the experiences through our meditation, and sometimes the experiences just happen, and then we need to understand them. And this is also how sometimes I've seen and I've known of Brahma Baba giving sustenance. There was one sister in Hong Kong, and she had to go to see the doctor about something. And that morning, before she went to see the doctor, she had a vision of Brahma Baba. A very beautiful experience, and it carried her. And she went that day to the doctor, and he told her that she had cancer, and it was in quite an advanced stage, and that she had to get admitted to the hospital immediately. And she was so cool, because she was still being carried. She was still being carried. And in this particular instance, it seemed like Brahma Baba, because it was very much a vision of Brahma Baba and the feeling of Brahma Baba. And when the doctor told her that she had cancer and she had to be admitted to hospital, she just said to the doctor, oh, okay, then I better go shopping. I have to buy a new nightdress. She's just talking like this. And the doctor was worried, because he thought, you know, nobody reacts like that. People get horrified, scared, they cry. You know, these kinds of things happen. But she was so relaxed about it. And, you know, and we all saw, that she actually got carried through the whole thing. You know, she had complications, she got infection, but she was in a very good state of mind, a very, very good state of mind. And, you know, so some of you, how many of you have had an experience of sustenance, like very, very specific? We all get like feelings of love and but a very clear experience. You have. Look how many. Yeah. Yeah. At least half. And I'm just talking now about those kind of very clear, direct experiences of sustenance. But I'm sure all of us, or most of us, get those experiences. Like yesterday, I was in the room, in my room, and I had a beautiful day, Amrit Vela and all these things. It was all good. But the highlight of the day for me, I was just doing something. I was packing. I'm leaving tomorrow, so I was just doing something also in between. And there's a picture, of course, of Brahma Baba in the room, and the eyes became alive and were like really communicating with me. And I'm like in the middle of just nothing, you know. I wasn't meditating. I was just doing something. And these eyes were like so much love, so sparkling and so amazing. And, You know, it was overwhelming, and I felt those eyes for the rest of the day. You know, so any time we can just get this kind of a beautiful connection, you know, and Baba says that he remembers us, right? We remember him, but he also remembers us. And sometimes it's very, very obvious. Maybe sometimes he specifically remembers me, not just us. He remembers us, but sometimes he remembers me. Me. You know, I get that he's remembering me, he's connecting with me. You know, that very, very personal experience as well. And so all of these things are happening for us at this confluence age. And you can't compare this experience, or maybe you can to some extent, but from what I've talked and understood, maybe you have had gurus, but it's very different. You know, like people go to gurus for a blessing. And this brother was telling me how, you know, he gets blessings and very, very strong directions, very strong, very clear directions from his guru. Like he must have a lot of faith in him. He's actually a prince, and he owns this, the family all have some property, but he owns a fort. And this guru said that there's gold under that fort, more than the rest of all the property of that kingdom, which is significant, palaces and all kinds of things. And but the guru said to him, because he said he was selling this fort. And the guru said to him, but sell this fort, and whoever gets it, let it go. Because it wasn't taken in a good way. That money wasn't attained in a good way. So just sell the fort, and whoever gets it, let them have it. Don't touch it. And he's going to do that. He has so much faith in the guru. But that's what I mean, this kind of, but the blessings and things like that that people get. And I was talking to him and I was saying, I can't relate to this idea of getting blessings from a guru for helping my life. Because for me, blessings are good action. If I do good action, I will have a good life. I mean, sometimes, you know, like mostly what's happening to us is not Baba's blessings. Baba says, I don't give you blessings, I give you teachings, right? So what's Baba's main sustenance is the teachings. And last night he said, my blessing, kind of he was saying, is that you can follow the Father. You know, so the blessing is like the good wishes, the empowerment, you know, because it's one thing to say follow Father, and he was saying it's very difficult to follow. So people in the world feel it's very difficult to follow good things. But this is, what did he say here? He said, he was saying to follow with zeal and enthusiasm. He was saying love means to receive the blessing of following the Father. This is Baba's love. Love means to receive the blessing of following the Father. And so, you know, I mean, it's and following the Father means not just following the example, not which is already great, but also following the teachings, applying the knowledge. Because when we apply this knowledge, then we also know, you know, how to move forward. Like Baba, the knowledge that Baba's taught us, for example, about being loving and... I was talking the other day, there was a class the other day about loving and detached. The word that they use in Hindi is niyara or piyara. It's not detached as we understand it generally in English, but it means unique, to stand apart from. you know, to be unique and stand apart from. So to be Niara or Piara, loving, and they use this word detach, but got it? I can't understand, sorry. But yeah. But it's a very beautiful word. It's a very, so the way Baba's taught us and helped us, but again, we've often misunderstood. We've often misunderstood, but if we really, you know, that's why also we need to follow Baba, not just hear the words, because Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba were extremely loving, and that's one of the specific examples that was brought up here, that we saw, it said, we saw Brahma Baba, his method of giving love and his method of serving with love. So if we hear these words loving and detached, and we think detachment so cold, but then we see the example of the absolute presence of love, we wouldn't be cold, you know? So we need to follow the practical example. Maybe if we had just Shiv Baba, we wouldn't know what any of this meant, because we wouldn't have had that practical example of a being that was so loving and generous and humble and light and could be, you know, just an instrument. So we've got that example, and that's why we need, as this Muli just kept repeating again and again, to follow. Even Srimat, we hear these words, follow Srimat. But the important thing is to follow. Which of the two words is more important, Srimat or follow? And sometimes people get confused about Srimat. They say, can you give me a list of all the Srimat? I say, wow, that starts from the minute you open your eyes, and it even includes while you're asleep. But seeing the example of Brahma Baba, it just makes it all easy. Like now we have, you know, the seniors, we can see so much in their example also. But, you know, just as the Brahma Baba couldn't be replaced, Mama couldn't be replaced, Didi Manmohini couldn't be replaced, Dadi Prakashmani couldn't be replaced, you know, none of these souls could be replaced. They're all unique in what they modeled for us. You know, like they talk about Didi Manmohini as being the controller of the yajna. Controller meaning she kept everything in a very good, spiritually sustained administration. You know, that's lacking now, because it's quite hard. There's thousands, you know, a million BKs, but thousands and thousands of surrendered souls. Just in Madhuban, there's more than 1,000 surrendered staying here. It's not so easy to keep everything, you know, everyone really up to the mark, you know. But Didi was able to do that. And no one's been able to do it since she left. It was her speciality, you know. Just as Mama, you know, from what I hear from Mama, was so loving. No one could have the love. I was reminded yesterday, because I went to see little Mohini before meeting Baba, and we were telling little Mohini that she should give us a class on Mama, and so we kept trying to catch her, and one day we caught her in Daddy's room. We said, okay, sit down now, give us a class on Mama right now, because we keep asking you. And she just sat down it was in Dadi Prakashmani's room, and she just went into the remembrance of Mama. Then she just said, Mama, mama. She's my mama. And went into tears, and we all sat in tears. It was one of the best classes I've ever had. And that's like six words. But she went into the experience of it, you know, and the love that mama had. That's what they all say. No one could be like mama, you know. So everyone is unique, and that's why when we hear all these stories of Brahma Baba reading those 10 steps that we shared together, it's so important, because we need to know what was the teaching. But the teaching was the life. You know, the teachings weren't so much the words. And that's what Baba kept saying last night. You didn't see Brahma Baba, but you hear. And you hear about the character. You hear about what he said, how he did things. You know, and this is what we need to learn. So we can't like just think, it doesn't matter, right? I mean, we didn't meet Brahma Baba, it doesn't matter, because there's so much that we need to learn from the life, from the way Baba did everything. And so, you know, that's why I think most of you have come at this time, right? Many of you have come, especially for this time of 18th January, because you want to hear those stories, get close to that soul, and, you know, and this is the best time to do it. I don't know. I don't think there's any other time in the whole season that you can get what you get now in terms of all the stories and the examples and, you know, and the whole atmosphere, this atmosphere of Brahma Baba, it's there. You know, it's just there. And so if you haven't got that relationship yet with Brahma Baba, then there's still a few more days, I'm sure, during this day. But, you know, read all the stories. There's that book of all the daddies and their experiences of their life, but most of it is centered around Brahma Baba. Because, you know, Brahma Baba's not here in front of us. So there's two ways to learn. One is from all those stories and listening and reading, and the other is through this avyakt sustenance, getting our own relationship developed. But they kind of go together also, because those stories help. And what else was Baba saying? Yeah, so Baba was saying that, he was saying, don't miss out, you know, of course this is in Hindi, but don't miss out on following everything of Brahma Baba. Pay attention. Have the zeal and enthusiasm to follow both. So don't miss out. And we can miss out just by not paying attention, by not trying to find out and experience. Pay attention and have enthusiasm to follow both Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba. And to experience the power of sustenance. That's a nice thing to also churn. What is the power of sustenance? And yesterday and today, the indoor girls' hostel is going to perform in Shantivan, if you do have a chance to see it. It's supposed to be the apex of all their experiences, the best of the best. But indoor, I spent 6 weeks there. And it was interesting that they were there last night. 7,000 were there from indoor. Because my experience was that the sustenance that they give there, I've never seen anywhere. It's Om Prakash, who was there last night, And Bubba said last night that Indore was the thought of Bubba before he became Avyakt. And what happened is that Brahma Bubba, or Babdada, Shiv Bubba, Babdada, told Om Prakash Bhai to go and start service in Indore. And this was about maybe a week before Bubba became Avyakt, a few days. He just got the letter. And he actually had that letter in his pocket, because I think it was just like maybe the day before, so maybe even the same pants he wore. But he had the letter in his pocket when he was standing. You know, they cremated Bubba's body at the Tower of Peace. So he was standing there, and he took that letter out of his pocket and read it, you know, at that time, very significant time. So he has taken sustenance from Brahma Bubba. And when I was in Indore, I felt it's the same as Bubba's days. These 150 girls that live in the hostel, I don't think it would have changed much from Brahma Bubba's days. They don't have television. They don't have anything from outside, like books or magazines or things like that. They get up at 4 o'clock. They do their own washing. They book their own train tickets. They chop the vegetable, grind the grain. They do all of these things. They learn computer. They learn dancing and singing and all of these things. 150 of them. And they have a mentoring system. The older ones, you know, the young ones get put in the room with the older ones and they kind of mentor them. Just like a normal family, you wouldn't have the same age, right? 4 or 5 of the same age in a room. You would have brothers and sisters usually of different ages. But these girls, I was thinking we should have something like the 7 wonders of the Brahmin family. And I think the Indore Girls Hostel, in my mind, is one of the 7 wonders of the Brahmin family. Because it's not just what's there, but it's the result. Because you see these girls, they've got so much self-respect and confidence. And they're so happy and clear. And I've talked to a few psychologists. I say, you should go and study this, because I think this is a phenomena of training. You know how things are happening there, but the strength. And when I meet a sister, you know, here or there in India, I can often tell if they've come from the hostel. They carry this power, and that's the power of sustenance. So we don't have the opportunity often now to get sustenance from the seniors, do we? There's very few of them, and there's a lot of us. So we don't get the kind of sustenance like they got in the early days. So the way we get our sustenance is through the Avyakt form. And it's not less. In fact, I once had a conversation about this with Duddy and Didi, because, you know, as usual, I think most of us feel, why didn't we come in the earlier so we could have met Bubba and Mama and everyone? And they were saying that we get more sustenance than they got. And I said, no, you're just saying this was Duddy Prakashmani and Didi Manmohini. We were having lunch together. There was just a few of us, maybe 4 or 5 of us having lunch with them. And they were saying, you get more sustenance. We are seeing it than we got. And we said, oh no, you're just saying that just to make us feel good. That can't be true. And they said, no, really. Really. You are getting more sustenance than us. We weren't often in Madhuban. We were sent out for service here and there. And also the type of sustenance they're saying, because it's subtle. You know, Brahma Bubba today, no, sorry, in the Muli today, kept saying this word, alokik. I think every 3rd or 4th word of the Muli was alokik, alokik. You know, so we get this subtle sustenance from Bubba. And that has its own power. Because like Surya Bhai was saying the other day, not everyone really knew how to take, even from Brahma Baba, right? Some just became devotional, you know, like he was saying in his class the other day, that for him to be like Brahma Baba and to do everything like Brahma Baba and to learn and to was what he felt was important. But not everyone saw that. Some just, you know, worshipped him almost, you know. So even though they might have got sustenance on a physical level from Brahma Baba, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, it doesn't mean just because you were there. Otherwise, why did so many leave also? So we'll just finish in a few minutes. So, yeah, just because people were physically present with Brahma Baba doesn't necessarily mean that they got more than we're getting, does it? Because some left. Why would they leave if they really got? But this power of sustenance, that's what we need to be aware of the power that we're getting through the avyak sustenance. And then Baba was using this word, you know, he was saying, asking us to raise our hand whether we will follow Baba. But then he used the word, people, we were all raising our hand, I think, but then he was saying, Brahma Baba followed accurately. So in this following Baba, this word accurate needs to also be underlined. And with determined thought. And then Baba was saying that we need to have faith, and that this confluence age is the season of victory. It's the time for us to be victorious. And the incorporeal Baba, Nirakar Baba, is giving so much love, giving and taking. And putting his hand on our head. So that was a new action. You know, Baba comes up with new actions. There's blessings, then he was doing this, but this time it was like, you know, he was trying to show us what, you know, if it's so sweet and so endearing, this action of putting his hand on our head. And then he was just to conclude with just this little meeting that we had as the double foreigners. So Baba was saying that Baba was known as the benefactor, but the wonder of the double foreigners is that through us, through taking Baba to the whole world, Baba's claimed the title of what? World benefactor. So he said, this is the wonder of the foreigners. And what touched me very much when he told the Bharatwasis, he said, clap, you know, he told them to clap. Did you hear how much they clapped for us? I was very touched. He had to stop them, you know. They were clapping and clapping, and Baba had to stop them. So that was very sweet and very loving, this relationship between the Bharatwasis and the double foreigners. So, Om Shanti Didi might have something to say on this as well.